Good morning. I hope you're enjoying the service so far. For the month of November, we will be looking at some parables of Jesus. And today's parable is called a parable of the weeds. Now, what is a parable? A parable is a short tale that illustrates a universal truth. It is a simple narrative. It sketches a setting, describes an action, and shows the results. A parable often involves a character who faces a moral dilemma, or one who makes a bad decision and then suffers the unintended consequences. The defining characteristics of the parable is a presence of a subtext, suggesting how a person should behave or what he should believe. And I place a little color-coded idea of, as we go through this lesson, to have an idea where we are in the beginning, the middle, the end, and the last one, how a person should react. So I hope this helps as we go through. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 13, reading from verse 24 to 30. It reads, Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from? An enemy did this, he replied. The servants asked him, Do you want us to go and pull them up? No, he answered, because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn. Let's go before God in prayer. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, we thank you for this morning and we thank you for the lesson that you have provided through your scriptures about this parable of the weed. We pray as we read, we are able to learn and you help me to explain so that we have a better appreciation of these parables. I pray just use me and those who are listening will have an understanding and attentive ear. I thank you. As we do these things online, that our attention is focused on the scriptures. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, I like reading the parables, especially when it comes to, you know, having Bible discussions. There's so much you can get from these parables. When Jesus was speaking, the audience, they are generally farmers back then. And it would have made a lot more sense to Jesus' original audience. Farming and agriculture was a big thing for his audience. You know, just before this parable, Jesus talked about the parable of the sower, where the seed represents the word of God. And after that parable, the parable of the mustard seed. You know, Jesus spoke about when one farmer wanted to sabotage another. This wasn't unheard of way back then. And looking at scripture, the weeds that is mentioned here is called the bearded darnel. It is sometimes called false wheat because the similarity between the weeds and the wheat was so close. But for us, this is not about agriculture. Imagine back then, the disciples, they were a bit confused because with the other scriptures, the seed might represent the word of God, but in this one, it seems as if the seed represents the plants in this sense. And hence, even as we read the scripture, where our mind may go with weeds, our initial idea would be to pull up the weeds. But these farmers and I guess those who enter agriculture, the disciples were kind of a bit confused, but why would you leave weeds in there? So, they came up to Jesus and we're going to continue from verse 36 of Matthew 13, where Jesus gave an explanation. So let's go. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 36. Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are the angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let them hear." Now, if you follow the color code, the beginning, middle, and end, when Jesus explained his story, he just went from beginning straight to end. You know, when Jesus, to really understand this scripture, we must understand that Jesus is talking about the kingdom of heaven. And this is just one of the characteristics of the kingdom. The disciples' expectation was that the kingdom of God will be a restored Israel, a physical place. But when Jesus speaks, it's kind of hard to gather that concept for them. Because many times Jesus says things like, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field." Or, "The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls." "The kingdom of heaven is like the master of a house who brings out his treasure, both what is new and what is old." "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour." "The kingdom of heaven is like a man scattering seed on the ground." I know every time Jesus explained the kingdom, it seems as if it's some action that is happening, rather than a place or some stagnant form of structure. It's always someone doing something. So Jesus explained the story, and we have a man who is the owner, Jesus. We have the good seed, kingdom of God, and you can see a little table here. The field, the world, his enemies, the bad seeds. He had the owner's servants, which somehow he did not explain. The harvest and harvesters. And you see that the humans are the good seed, which is the people of the kingdom, and the bad seeds are people of the evil one. So the humans are the plants, but everything else, the other characters, are the spiritual beings. All right? So, one part that Jesus did not mention was the middle part, which is my first point I'm going to look at, entitled Jesus's compassion. Now, in Jesus' explanation, he missed this whole conversation with his servants. He did not associate his servants with any of the spiritual being. And it's very clear to me that the servants are not human. So it cannot be Paul, Peter, Elijah, Abraham, Solomon, David. No, all those people are human beings on the earth. So his servants has to be someone in heaven. It cannot be the angels, because the angels will harvest us. So that was a very interesting that Jesus didn't put a spiritual being or association with his servants. However, the purpose of the servants helped with the questions and the dilemma in which Jesus had. All right? So, in his conversations with the servants, Jesus was presented with an option. And the servants suggested to uproot the weeds and to get rid of them. Now, a weed is a plant that is growing in an area where it is not wanted. That's the simple definition. Weeds are parasitic plants that can do major damage to landscapes. They take up valuable resources that desired plants need, including light, nutrients, soil, space, and water. Some weeds carry crop diseases and produce toxic chemicals. So getting rid of these dangerous weeds requires swift action, as they typically produce a lot of seeds and spread rapidly. Proactively managing nutrient levels and eliminating weeds are the best ways to ensure crops have the nutrients they need for the entire growing season. Thank God for internet and getting all this information, because I am not some form of agricultural person. But from this description, we see that because weeds are important, it needs swift actions. And hence, farmers, if they're listening, would agree, you need to get out the weeds. But somehow in this story, Jesus, his concern was not about the weeds. These weeds and the wheat, though they are together, in pulling out the weeds, you might uproot the good wheat. And because they are people, you could see that Jesus was, or at least the story represents people, that Jesus was concerned about the people that is belonging to him. Jesus was concerned. Listening to this story, you could see where it might be very easy to get rid of all the bad things in your life. And while Jesus, he was in a dilemma about what to do, he said that it's better for him to keep the weeds inside so that the wheat, they would be in a much better position. Because if they pull them out, they're damaging his people. And that's where Jesus' heart and compassion was at, the people that belongs to him. He don't want to lose any of them. He don't want any of them to be damaged. He wanted them to stay in a good condition. And while that part wasn't explained, it shows that Jesus cares for all his people. He cares for you. He cares for me. He wants us to be, you know, growing. He wants us to be saved. And that was his heart. And for anything that we own, even us as Christians, we own a lot of things. And we want to make sure that everything that we own is clean and proper. The car is clean. The house is nice. And all the materials, things that we own, we want to make sure that it is good and well kept. And hence, we take care of the things that we love, even though it's material stuff. And here it is, Jesus, when he think of the wheat, he see it as his own child, his children, that he want to take care of. And for those of us who have children, you know, that I'm sure you have a better idea. Well, not better, but, you know, a good grasp of what it is to take care of your own children. And even if you're single or you don't have any children, you're married without any children, you know, we still have people around us, friends and family that we love, and we want to see them grow and we take care of them. We always want to make sure that they do the good things. And in this case, Jesus really see it fit to leave the weeds inside so that the wheat can grow. This is kind of confusing for any farmer, because you don't want the weeds to take up the nutrients from them. So while in the farming sense, it's weird, but for people, it's normal. How many times have you known someone who, you know, you want the good of them, but somehow you had to allow the bad to happen. Somehow you had to allow them to fall. Sometimes you allow them to make mistakes. I appreciate my parents, because I know I make mistakes in my life, and they love me time and time again to make sure that I grew up in the place to be the person who I am even today. So while the script didn't talk much about Jesus' role and his compassion, we gather from this script here that Jesus loves his people and he loves all the things for them. It continues, just a point number two. You know that Jesus wants us to grow. Now, I believe when Jesus says this, he was more concerned about the wheat rather than the weeds. And his response was more on them. Let both of them grow. But it's really, really the wittiest thinking about. For any farmer, or just by research, if the weeds grow, it will harm bug. But when we grow, we want to make sure that we are growing in the right reasons. In fact, in this world, both good and bad are increasing. We can expect as time goes on, evil will increase in seriousness and in volume. We can also expect with the passing weeks, months, and years for good to grow. We can expect to see more of God's glory here on this earth, more people coming to faith, more demonstrations of God's mighty power and salvation. But both good and bad is happening. I want to make sure that while all this is happening, that we are watching ourselves. Because Jesus wants us to grow, we have to ask the question, well, what are you growing into, or what are you doing to make sure that you are growing in the proper way? The scripture helps me see that growth in godly character matters. Being better on the inside is more beneficial than being better on the outside. In fact, the inside influences the outside. Inside victories precede outside ones. Our inside development is totally within our control. And we must value humility above all virtues, making sure that our insides, all the characters, the fruit of the Spirit is intact, and that we are growing on the inside. We must be intentional about it. And whether it's weed or wheat, because Jesus wants us to grow, we have to make sure that we are growing into the maturity of what Jesus wants us to be. And in order for us to do that, we must get into the Bible. We must see what Jesus wants, what the scripture says, what are the things that he is talking about. When we get into the scriptures, we are able to see how to grow. Throughout my life, I mean, reading scriptures is something that I like. I'm sure that throughout my life, I need people in my life, and I need scriptures to help me grow in different areas. One area that I really find it hard to grow, that's for me, is just growing in discipline. And in discipline, just doing the things that I said I would do at the time I would do it. So many times I would like to get up on a morning and read my Bibles, and at times I'll be like, whoo, this is tough. So many times I would have a list of things to do. I would know when I'm supposed to do it, but I just don't do it. Or at least the time I do it probably is way after. And sometimes I procrastinate, or at least I could have done it a little earlier. You know, and I find myself these days, especially with COVID, just being slow when it comes to discipline and procrastinating. Imagine, even now, while I don't have to get up 5 o'clock in the morning to go to work, and I will get up 6, 7 o'clock. But I realize just by doing those things, it affects me spiritually. I'm not as effective as I would like to be. During these COVID times, I always had to watch out for myself. There was even a time in September, I was actually getting up and dressing in shirts and pants as if I'm going to work, but staying home. I was doing that for a time. But we want to make sure that we are growing, and that the characters that we have within us is growing towards maturity. And I'm more talking about the wheat. I'm not focused on the weeds. I believe Jesus is more focused on the wheat growing. It's correct that, yes, the weeds are growing, but I believe that for those who are listening, we want to pay attention to the wheat and what they are doing. So that was the second point. Jesus wants us to grow. Now the third point is what I believe is the crunch of this story, the main idea, the reason why he is telling this story. And this third point is prepare for judgment. Forget about what type of wheat and the weed, and you know, you can get into the agriculture of things. For anyone who's listening to this, the third point, prepare for judgment. Now let's go back to the scripture. And when we look at verse 40 to 43, which I kind of highlight in green here, is where Jesus is showing the result. He says in verse 40, As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let them hear. I believe that last part is what Jesus was really driving at, above all else. That judgment is coming. Are you prepared for this judgment? Are you prepared? Where will you end up? Will you end up in the fire, which is considered hell? Or will you end up in heaven where our Lord Jesus Christ is at even now? In fact, on this earth, there's only two types of people. Those who follow Christ and those who don't. Those who don't, judgment is coming and you will be placed in fire. Hell. Yes, Jesus used this to describe hell. I want to make sure that this is the main thing, where we are heading. Where is your life heading? Have you repented and accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and baptized with water to receive the forgiveness of his sins? You know, when he says, whoever have ears, let them hear, he want to make sure that, guys, you must do something about this. Hell is real. Heaven is real. And we want to be those who are on the wheat to end up in a nice place, not like the wheat. Are you doing things to make sure you are in that position? And for why we might think individually, working our own salvation with fear and trembling, we want to make sure even friends and family are hearing this same thing as well. And for you, the listeners, that, you know, we encourage you to really get in the scriptures, because this parable is about the final destination, where we will end up and where things will be. You know, Jesus took time to explain it, and when he explained it to the disciples, there's some form of reaction, some way we should behave. At the ending of this, should we continue in the life of sin, or should we stop and figure out what it is we need to do? Even if you are a Christian right now, are you living in sin, or are you making every effort to make sure that you are doing the right things and the righteous things, seeking his kingdom first so that you will end up in heaven? While the parable didn't make mention of if a wheat could turn into a weed or vice versa, the ending is, you want to make sure that you are going to heaven. This, when I read this, and when I hear this, I feel I have to make sure to do everything to, as much as possible, to get to heaven. And bring other people as well. We need people in our lives, because it's a whole field. It's not just one single wheat, it's a field. And we have to make sure that we are helping each other out, which will in turn help ourselves grow. You know, when I was studying the Bible and reading all the scriptures about sin and the cross, I was always thinking, wow, I want to make sure I get to heaven. And if this is what it takes, then I'm going to make sure I do that. I read the Bible and I repented of my sins. I got baptized, accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. And here it is, I am even today striving with our brothers and sisters. Where are you at? I pray that I continue in this situation. And that's one of the fears that sometimes I have. That somehow, somewhere in the middle of everything, that I fail. And I pray that I don't. And that's a fear. But I pray that we always read the Bible, and I always read the Bible, and make sure that I'm talking and to brothers and sisters, and talk to my family, so that I myself am making it to heaven and bringing others, family and friends, right there. This is what the kingdom is about, making sure that we get to heaven. So as we look at the whole idea of this parable, we see that Jesus loves his kingdom and the people of the kingdom. He wants us to grow so that we won't end up in hell, but towards heaven. Guys, study the Bible out and let's all encourage each other heavenward so that we are able to get to heaven and learn from this parable what it takes and where we'll be in the years to come on Judgment Day. I thank you and I pray that we have a good rest of the evening. Let's go before God in prayer. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, I thank you for this time and I thank you for the parable. I mean, so much you could have gotten from this parable, but I guess the main point is that the judgment, that we are in the right place and we're heading towards the right place. And I ask that you help us to walk the right path, follow you, follow your scriptures. And for those who are listening, they make a decision to follow Jesus Christ. I thank you and I pray these things in Jesus' name, amen.